Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to Infigen Energy FY18 full year results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. At which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, the 27th of August, 2018. I would now hand the conference over to your speaker today, Ross Rolfe. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. I'm here with Sylvia Wiggins, the Finance Director at Infigen, Paul Himshauser, the EGM Corporate Development, and Sarah McNally, our Head of Investor Relations. Can I begin by thanking you all for joining us? Following the presentation, I'll open the line for questions, but first I'll turn to the slide pack we've released to the market this morning. Turning to slide three first, the safety of our people is, of course, our highest priority. We're fully committed to ensuring that we provide a safe workplace and manage our assets based on the best safety protection practices in our industry. We continue to vigilantly pursue our goal of zero harm. We were therefore particularly pleased to celebrate 10 years free of lost time injuries at Lake Bonnie and Alinta Wind Farms this year. To achieve this goal, we apply a hierarchy of controls which are designed to eliminate hazardous practices or engineer solutions to isolate or reduce the risk of our people being harmed. Only where these measures cannot be effectively implemented do we rely upon work practices and protective clothing or equipment to protect our people from risks to their safety. Pleasingly, our lost time injury frequency rate has improved on the prior year. The company reported one lost time injury for the year at our Woodlawn Wind Farm with a contract worker sustaining an injury while performing a turbine service. The worker has since returned to normal duties. Now turning to slide four, which sets out the FY18 performance highlights of our business. I'm pleased to report that higher production and the successful implementation of our multi-channel route to market sales strategy has resulted in, first, underlying EBITDA of 149.1 million dollars, up 7% on PCP. Second, net profit after tax of 45.7 million dollars, up 41% on PCP. And third, net operating cash flow of 100.4 million dollars. In FY18, our multi-channel route to market sales initiative has enabled us to balance price and tenor in our contracting strategy to deliver more reliable revenue outcomes. In FY18, 66% of revenue was from contracted sales, a significant increase on FY17, where 43% of revenue was derived from contracted sales. This has resulted in Infigen receiving improved electricity prices in New South Wales and maintained the received price in South Australia, despite the decline in wholesale prices in that regional market. The refinancing we undertook during FY18 has resulted in lower corporate debt and a more flexible corporate facility. This restructured facility releases cash back into the business, enabling the board to consider investment in growth and the reintroduction of distributions. Moving to slide five, we can see the key factors that influence these results. Production generated increased by 4% to 1,549 GWh, while production sold increased by 6% to 1,480 GWh. The increase in production reflects higher wind resources at our Lake Bonnie wind farms in South Australia and our Woodlawn wind farm in New South Wales. As I mentioned earlier, our multi-route channel to market sales strategy resulted in favorable prices being received compared to the prior period. It's also worth noting that we achieved good price outcomes in New South Wales and South Australia relative to the market. While operating and development costs increased, our corporate costs were down on the prior year because of the stabilization of the corporate and business structure. I'll go into further detail on our costs on slide 13 of today's presentation. Turning to slide six, during FY18, Infigen further executed on the business strategy which we outlined to the market in 2016. Over the next couple of slides, I'll recap on our strategic progress. First, you will recall that we signalled in 2016 that we intended to explore the option of refinancing our legacy debt facility. This facility was in cash sweep, was subject to a distribution stopper, and limited our ability to operate our assets as a portfolio. We were therefore pleased to announce in April that we had refinanced our existing debt and replaced it with a new corporate facility. This process has resulted in the level of corporate debt decreasing by $138 million and ensures free cash flow from operations is available to support growth. This new facility also allows the board to consider the reintroduction of distributions. Secondly, we foreshadowed the need to diversify our sales strategy by pursuing the opportunity to sell both energy and LGCs to a broader customer base than just to retailers under long-term run-of-plant PPAs. We are pleased, therefore, that in FY18, we increased our contract position in South Australia and in New South Wales. As a result, in FY18, 45% of sales revenue arose from C&I contracts, up from 23% in FY17. Looking forward to FY19, we enter the year with 73% of the electricity sales book for expected production already contracted through C&I contracts and PPAs. 89% of LGC production for FY19 is under contract. The multi-channel route to market strategy is now delivering on our goal of improved revenue stability. Turning to slide 7, consistent with our strategy to supply firm energy to our C&I customer group, earlier this month, we announced our investment in physical firming capacity in South Australia. This involves installing a 25 megawatt battery energy storage system at our Lake Bonnie wind farms. The battery will enable us to firm at least an additional 18 megawatts of power for commercial and industrial customers. The battery will also enable us to supply ancillary services to the market, as well as capture value from price arbitrage. So too have we advanced our investment in additional capacity. Our new 113 megawatt wind farm at Badangara in New South Wales is on track to be delivered on budget, with first energy exported to the national energy market occurring on 6 August this year. New South Wales is an attractive market for Infigen, and when Badangara is fully commissioned, it will increase Infigen's installed capacity by 20% and expected annual production by 24%. On slide 8, we discuss the implementation of our strategy to stabilise operational costs and incentivise our O&M provider to manage our assets with a view to maximising the value of production. To this end, on the 1st of January 2018, Infigen entered into an O&M services agreements with Vestas across 6 operating assets. These agreements provide Infigen with long-term cost predictability and operational reliability. I'm also pleased to announce that Infigen is positioned to enter the Victorian energy market with the signing of a 5-year electricity-only run-of-plant power purchase agreement with Kiata Wind Farm for 31 megawatts. This PPA will enable future C&I contracting in Victoria. A further step in progressing our market presence in Victoria is the potential development of the 55 megawatt Cherry Tree Wind Farm. This project is well advanced in the development cycle. A decision on this project and its timing will take account of our view of future market conditions and the likely market outlook. All in all, FY18 has been a year of significant progress on the execution of our business strategy, with a fit-for-purpose debt structure, a commitment to new investment in firming capacity, generation growth, and diversification of our customer base. Turning to slide 9, unfortunately, energy policy remains in a fluid state. While Infigen, like all other market participants, has engaged actively and constructively in the policy design process, at present we seem no closer to achieving a national policy framework designed to facilitate the process of transformation into a future energy market that delivers on the goals of affordability, reliability, and emissions reduction. In this uncertain policy environment, our business strategy is anchored in market fundamentals, driven by economics and engineering. On slides 9 and 10, we've set out the key factors that we believe will necessarily influence market behaviour and the nature and pace of investment in that market going forward. Against this backdrop of policy uncertainty, the energy market continues to be volatile, but the fundamentals of supply and demand remain the key determinants of price. On slide 11, we outline the factors we take into account when considering future energy and LGC prices. It should be remembered that obligated parties must surrender LGCs until the end of 2030. Infigen has LGC sales contracts that progressively expire over the period until 2030. Official estimates are that 37 million LGCs are required to be submitted each year. If LGC supply is greater than demand, then price will naturally fall. But for that to occur, substantial new renewable energy must enter the market. Once the RET has been met, the key driver for new investment, renewable or thermal, will be the timing of the future retirement of existing thermal plant, assuming that demand remains relatively static. The factors we consider for future electricity price trends include fuel costs for thermal generators, the cost of maintaining the ageing coal generation fleet, liquidity of the forward contract market, and the introduction of the five-minute settlement rule. We also consider the factors that influence the pace and volume of renewables that are likely to enter the market over the next decade. All these factors impact whether existing generation can operate economically and the form of new generation most suitable to replace existing capacity. Beyond the short term, the price of wholesale electricity should rationally equal the replacement cost of capacity using the most efficient technologies. Slide 12 highlights that substantial deleveraging of the existing operating portfolio ensured overall gearing did not significantly increase, despite the addition of Badangara project debt. I will discuss the key metrics in more detail as we proceed through the presentation. Slide 13 contains a summary of the key elements that determine our EBITDA outcome. Our underlying EBITDA of $149.1 million is up compared to $139.3 million in the PCP. This result reflects the following movements. First, revenue increased by $13.4 million, which I'll break down in the following slide. Second, operating costs increased by $3 million on the PCP to $43.2 million due to one-off costs of $1.6 million relating to the transition of Capital and Woodlawn wind farms to the Vestas O&M service agreements, an increase in FCAS costs due to the underlying increase in NEM charges, and an additional investment in asset management and energy market internal capabilities to support the growth of our customer service offering. Third, corporate costs decreased by $2.5 million to $13.2 million compared to the PCP. This reflects the elimination of transition and restructuring costs that were incurred in FY17. Fourth, development costs increased by $3.1 million to $4.5 million, reflecting our strategic focus to pursue growth in firming capacity and generation. You can see from the movement in our cost structure, the focus for Infigen is on growth through increased production and firming and in developing the internal capability to enable us to deliver our business strategy. Turning to slide 14, net revenue increased by $13.4 million to $210.1 million, a 7% increase on PCP. As you can see on the slide, the main driver for this was the increase in production, which contributed an additional $11.4 million over the FY17 outcome. I will discuss this further on slide 18. Electricity price received also contributed to the improved revenue, with an increase of $5 million on the PCP. This is due to the increase in New South Wales prices received and the stabilisation of SA pricing because of the additional C&I contracted sales in both regions. Contracted sales rose to 66% in FY18 compared to 43% in FY17. Notably, in FY18, 74% of the second half's revenue was from contracted sales compared to 60% in the first half. This reflects the execution of further C&I contracts in the second half of FY18. I'll discuss in more detail Infigen's evolving mix of contracted and uncontracted revenues later in this presentation. In terms of LGC sales, revenue decreased by $1.9 million on the PCP, reflecting the lower average price received. For FY18, Infigen received no compensated revenue compared to $1 million in the PCP. Turning to slide 15, as I've mentioned earlier, our multi-channel route to market strategy has had a significant impact on FY18 results and underpins our revenue expectation for FY19. This strategy seeks to balance price, tenor and risk for electricity revenue. The increase in C&I and wholesale contract revenue and the decrease in spot market sales is a result of this strategy. As we enter FY19, we have already contracted 72% of the year's expected generation, as well as 89% of our expected LGC production, providing a solid level of revenue certainty for the year. Turning to NPAT on slide 16, NPAT increased by $13.4 million to $45.7 million, a 41% increase on PCP. The various components which contributed to this increase are set out on this slide. Net finance costs increased by $27.9 million on PCP to $78.8 million. The increase was primarily due to interest rate swap termination fees of $43.3 million associated with the refinancing. This was partially offset by lower interest expenses reflecting the lower average debt balance throughout the year. This was due to the refinancing and higher interest income on the higher average cash balance. Income tax went from a tax expense of $14.8 million in FY17 to a tax benefit position of $26.1 million in FY18. This movement in FY18 is a result of a deferred tax asset of $35.7 million brought to account, reflecting the probable expectation of future use of previously unrecognised tax losses. Moving to operating cash flow on slide 17, we are reporting net operating cash flow of $100.4 million and free cash flow of $97.8 million for FY18. Overall change on PCP is minimal, but you will note a couple of line items with material movements year on year. First, the $10.1 million increase in FY18 LGC inventory is primarily due to an increase in contracted and forward sales with delivery dates after 30 June 2018. Secondly, the net finance costs decreased by $19.5 million on PCP to $29.4 million. This reflects the impact of the refinancing with a lower corporate debt balance, resulting in lower interest expenses and the termination of interest rate derivative contracts. With the continued strong operating cash flow and subsequent free cash flow, Infigen can support its business strategy. On slide 18, as you can see, generated production increased to 1,549 gigawatt hours, a 4% increase compared to the PCP. This was due to improved wind conditions at Lake Bonnie in South Australia and Woodlawn in New South Wales, as well as a return to normal conditions at Capital Wind Farm. Offsetting this, Alinta production was down on the PCP due to lower wind performance. Turbine and site availability remained at historical levels during FY18. Our new 113.2 megawatt Badangara Wind Farm started exporting electricity to the national electricity market in early August as part of the commissioning process. You can see on the bottom half of the slide how Badangara's production coming online transitions the Infigen portfolio from generating the majority of its energy in South Australia to New South Wales. Turning to capital management on slide 19, an integral aspect of Infigen's strategy is the creation of a balance sheet that supports the execution of Infigen's business plan. As a result of the FY18 refinancing, we paid out the global facility and Woodlawn debt of $656.1 million. These facilities were replaced with a new corporate debt facility with a drawdown of $525 million as at 30 June 2018. This represents a $138 million decrease in corporate debt. As at 30 June 2018, Badangara Project Finance Facility is drawn down to $158.6 million. Our cash balance decreased primarily due to the deleveraging. This results in a net debt position of $531.2 million as at 30 June 2018. Importantly, our balance sheet now has the capacity to better support growth, and the board can consider reintroducing distributions for security holders. Slide 20 contains an update on the execution of our business strategy. The three interrelated growth opportunities which underpin growing value in our business are increasing the ability to manage risks involving contracting firm supply, growth in generation capacity, and continuing to enhance our ability to serve customers and expand our customer base. Both physical and financial firming solutions enable us to manage the risks associated with intermittent production. Investing in firming capacity will allow Infigen to contract an additional C&I customer load, physical firming investment options to enhance the reliability of products sold from our existing generation fleet include the battery energy storage system we are investing in South Australia. Infigen believes that there are price signals for investment in generation capacity in certain regional markets. We've identified New South Wales and Victoria as the focus for developing additional generation capacity when the market conditions are sufficiently conducive. In order to access new capacity, Infigen has indicated that we would consider investing on balance sheet or through a capital light funding model. Our investment in additional generation capacity therefore includes entering into a five-year PPA to acquire the energy produced by the 31 megawatt Kiata wind farm in Victoria. Through this capital light funding model, we will be well placed to supply customers within the Victorian market. We have also advanced the potential development of Cherry Tree Wind Farm in Victoria. This project, should it proceed, will supplement our sources of clean energy supply in that state. In New South Wales, we are continuing to evaluate the Flyers Creek Wind Farm with a view to considering final investment decision in the second half of FY19. Any decision to invest directly or indirectly will take careful account of the energy market outlook. The board will cautiously and rigorously examine the risks and rewards that would be involved into entering into such commitments and determine whether or not the company's interests are best served by such investment. In response to the increased demand for energy from C&I customers, Infigen is investing in enhancing its customer service capability. With enhanced capabilities, Infigen would be able to service C&I customers with multi-sites and manage the variability of load profile. Such capabilities would also increase the number and type of C&I customers with which Infigen is able to contract. On slides 21 and 22, we consider Infigen's outlook for FY19. First, we anticipate a 14% uplift in production in FY19 due to Badangara coming online. Once fully commissioned, Badangara will increase production by 24% compared to FY18. This increase in production from Badangara is expected to be slightly offset by anticipated lower wind resources because of forecast El Nino weather patterns. On price, we recognise the market continues to be volatile, but the fundamentals remain strong. Potential effects of policy and/or regulatory change are being monitored. It's not expected that any of these potential changes will affect Infigen's financial performance in FY19. As I mentioned earlier in this presentation, execution of the multi-channel route to market strategy in FY18 has positioned Infigen for increased revenue stability in FY19. Our forward book for FY19 is currently 32% contracted under PPAs and 40% contracted to C&I/wholesale customers. The balance of 28% is currently exposed to the spot market. 89% of our LGC production for FY19 is contracted at fixed prices. Slide 22 discusses our outlook on costs. With the Vestas O&M service agreements in place, operating costs are expected to be stable going forward for the 6 operating assets covered by this service agreement. Badangara Wind Farm is to be operated and maintained under a 20-year agreement with the original equipment manufacturer, General Electric. We anticipate corporate costs will remain in line with FY18. As I've outlined in today's call, Infigen is focused on execution of its business growth strategy, and as a result, we expect development costs for FY19 to be in line with FY18. FY19 will see further progress on the execution of the business strategy, with the focus for the year on, first, commercialising Badangara Wind Farm, with Energy Australia PPA being activated in the first half of FY19. Second, entering the Victorian market with the Kiata PPA and potentially Cherry Tree Wind Farm. Third, constructing our Lake Bonnie battery energy storage system, with commissioning expected for the second half of FY19. Fourth, assessing additional physical firming solutions in South Australia and New South Wales. Fifth, advancing Flyers Creek Wind Farm to a point where a final investment decision can be taken in the second half of FY19. And sixth, continuing discussions with Brookfield about potential ways for Infigen and Brookfield to work together. I believe Infigen's performance in FY18, together with the implementation of our multi-channel route to market strategy and our focus on strategic growth, puts us in a strong position to protect existing and create new value for our security holders by taking advantage of the opportunities and managing the risks presented by the market as it continues in its transformation. Thank you for your time. I'm happy now to take questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound key or hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Mark Basuto from JP Morgan. Please ask your question.
Hi, everybody. Just a few things from me. Firstly, if we think about the C&I business that you've sort of moved into, can you give us an idea of roughly what your annualised sales load would be right now into this, the new C&I type business?
Yeah, Mark, it's Sylvia. It's about 40% right now, Mark, as we move into FY19, 40% into the C&I contracting market. It's spread between both New South Wales and South Australia. Western Australia is completely fully contracted under run-of-plant PPA. But really it's 40%, so exclude that from our numbers, and it's really 40%. New South Wales is very highly contracted for us at present between Capital Wind Farm and our Woodlawn assets, so we're very much looking forward to the Badangara asset coming online to increase our capacity to service C&I in New South Wales. And in South Australia, we've probably got a little over 200 megawatts of capacity that's currently uncontracted down there, and we'll be looking to do something with the South Australian battery when that comes online in the second half of FY19.
Okay, if I just sort of change tax a little bit, just going through the accounts this morning, I'm just noticing that your inventory of LGCs has increased pretty materially from the back end of last year. How should I understand that? So there's 581,000 odd LGCs you have in inventory. Why are you building such a big rate bank? And, you know, considering prices are declining, what are you intending on doing with that rate bank?
We've really sold a lot of them forward, actually, Mark. Obligated parties have to surrender in February following the calendar year just expired. So on the 30th of June, you can usually see that our inventory will be building up, because what we've done is we've entered into a lot of forward contracts which will settle in January, early February in calendar 19. So what we've got to do is actually hold those LGCs against those forward contracts which we've already entered into. So when we look across FY19, as Ross said, we really have got 89% of our LGCs already sold at fixed price. So the reason they're building up in our balance sheet is because they're already subject to contracts that will settle January. So you'll see big cash inflow late January, early February appearing in the results.
Okay. And then just one last thing, just the remaining capex on Bodangara.
It's about $38 million as at the 30th of June. We've got project finance in place for that. I think we've previously advised the market in terms of the actual size. I just don't have it at present with me. We've got contingency in place for that. The contingency was roughly around $12 million in the overall budget, and there will certainly be, as we sit here, probably 50% of that contingency returned back into the project, as Ross said, it has come in certainly under our expected budget outcomes there.
Excellent. Thank you very much. That's all from me.
Your next question comes from the line of Annika Lee from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Morning, guys. Just one question from me. Could you comment on how prices in the LGC contract strategy compare to the current forward curve?
Yeah, I'll take that one, Annika. Hi. In terms of the FY19 numbers, we've been able to capture probably where Cal19 has been sitting in terms of our forward contract sales. Beyond that, we're probably doing a little bit better than where the current market is, because these contracts were entered into prior to some of the decline that we've seen travel through the Cal20 and Cal21 type of numbers. So I think we're ahead in terms of our contracted sales against the decline that we saw in the LGC forward markets, again, because those contracts were entered into, in the case of Alinta, you know, sort of many, many years ago in relation to our Sydney desalination plant in 2010 type of pricing that we've got travelling through the book. So it's a pretty good position, I think, in terms of the contracted position that we've got on the LGC prices. And, of course, I'm sure we all noticed that certainly the Cal20 prices had a big bump last week in relation to some of those sales, but they're still thin if you're looking at some of those forward sales there.
Great, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Avinash Srinivasan from Macquarie. Please ask your question.
Oh, hi guys. Just a question on your C&I contracts. I was wondering if you could provide a bit more detail just about who some of your customers are, how many you sort of have, and in terms of the length of some of those C&I contracts you have?
Look, we don't talk about specifics. I think we've already talked about one specific being Adelaide Brighton, but as I mentioned in the presentation, we have added additional customers to that contract list, which is reflected in, I guess, the level of contracting in the second half of FY18. In terms of tenor, the tenor varies really between sort of 3 to 5 years, some going out to 7 years over the course of the contract. So, you know, that's, I suppose, in a nutshell.
If you go to
slide 15, I think we've sort of set that out in reasonable detail for you there, Avinash, over a 5-year period.
Sure. In terms of the new Vic Kiatawan down in the wind farm, can you give us a bit of clarity around when that kicks off, the 5-year agreement?
1 September that kicks off, Avinash?
In terms of the discussion with the board around the distribution, is there any sort of timing around when you think those sort of discussions will heat up?
Well, the discussions are already sort of kicked off, I suppose. Obviously, we're not announcing a distribution at the moment, otherwise we would have done so. But it's something we can now contemplate, given, firstly, the new debt facility, which obviously doesn't have a distribution stopper within it, and also because, you know, there's the business is continuing to generate a large amount of free cash flow. But beyond that, I don't have anything specific on timing. Clearly, they'll need to weigh up strategic growth and returns to shareholders as and strike the right balance.
Okay. And then you mentioned in terms of discussions with Brookfield now coming on board. Can you give us a bit more clarity around how the discussions have been so far, how they've sort of helped, and how you think they'll be a strategic partner going forward?
Look, the discussions have been cordial and constructive. I probably don't want to really say much more than that. They're continuing, and clearly, if there's developments that we need to inform the market about, then of course we will.
Okay, and then just one final question, just on the tax. What's the sort of outlook for when you expect to sort of pay cash tax?
Oh, Avinash, I think it's going to be some time yet. We've still got another $118 million of tax losses previously claimed with the ATO that we haven't yet brought a deferred tax asset onto the balance sheet. So, you know, that's a lot of profit. I think Infogen has certainly turned the corner in terms of its profitability, and that's been obviously reinforced as a result of the success with the changed business strategy, but there's still some time before cash tax is going to be paid given that.
Sure. Thanks a lot, guys.
Your next question comes from the line of James Boleyn from Canaccord. Please ask your question.
Good morning, Ross and Sylvia. Just a quick question around the South Australian battery. Could you give us some colour around the forecast economics for that project?
James, it's Paul Simshauser speaking. With battery economics, it won't surprise you to learn that, you know, it won't, it can't be reliant on purely arbitrage alone. And it's, you know, obviously you're paying for a skill set that goes well beyond that as well. So the outlook on batteries and their most, purposeful use is a combination of firming but also supplying services into the frequency control ancillary service markets, including both the frequency regulation market and the frequency control contingency markets or contingency reserves. And in terms of how to think about a battery, then you've basically got three, maybe four revenue streams that you need to think about. So there's what you would earn in the regulation market, there's what you'd earn in the contingency reserve markets, what you would naturally earn out of price arbitrage, for lack of a better term, so simply, you know, charging when prices are low or even negative and being paid to charge, and then, of course, discharging in higher price periods. And then finally, you know, as a provision of effectively a physical or a synthetic cap contract. So it's the combination of those that makes the economic stack up. I'd hasten to add, though, James, that batteries are still not at that point where they could, stand on their own two feet without the contribution or the assistance of government. And as you'd be aware, in the case of our SA battery, we had some assistance from both the South Australian government and from the Commonwealth Agency arena. And the combination of which was able to get the economics to stack up.
Great. I guess I'll ask it in a slightly different way then. Do you use the same economic hurdles for this battery as you would for a traditional wind farm?
Yes.
Great, so you're not taking a hit on return. That's really helpful. It also seems like foresight is no longer mentioned within your presentation here today. How should we be thinking about your development pipeline these days? It seems to be taking a bit more of a step back from some of the other initiatives that you're chasing.
Look, the development pipeline is still important to us, James. I guess, as I mentioned, we really have thought about the development pipeline in the context of relative energy value that each of those projects can produce in the regional markets, I suppose. And hence, our focus is really on New South Wales and Victoria going forward, less so Queensland, which is firstly a, you know, relatively well-supplied market in terms of energy. And Queensland's also had, I guess, a lot of renewable investment driven by the Queensland government policy around renewables, and that's led to, I guess, substantial investments, particularly in solar in the north, and that's in turn resulted in, I guess, changing calibration of loss factors and some detriment to each of those projects. So, you know, Forsyth is a project that's physically located in North Queensland, and I guess so we're watching closely what the sort of how the market conditions evolve and probably prioritised the southern projects in Victoria and New South Wales over and above Forsyth. That doesn't mean we don't see value in Forsyth at some point in time. It's really a question of which projects we're giving current priority to.
Great. And
we think going forward much more about the energy value than necessarily LGC production.
Great. And are you seeing any upwards pressure on development pricing? Obviously, there is a lot of development taking place, and then there's one contractor that's obviously come a bit unstuck. Is there upwards pressure on pricing at all?
Look, I think there are some, you know, forces emerging in the world of new project development for renewables. You'll see on, I think it's slide 10 or 11, something like that, we've sort of set out a number of factors that are influencing the rate and pace of new renewable projects coming into the system. And a lot of those really are influenced around the sort of the implications of new projects for the stability of the grid. Most of the sort of network operators are increasingly looking at system strength factors and also correspondingly the sort of implications for future loss factors. And so those issues, I think, are sort of moderating some of the pace of investment that's occurring in renewables going forward. Also, there's been a lot of sort of upward pressure on pricing driven by, in particular, balance of plant, where there's been a lot of activity, as you're aware, in new projects and the sort of civil contract market providing balance of plant services has responded accordingly.
Thanks, Ross. That's helpful. Cheers.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for your time this morning. I really appreciate your interest, and I look forward to catching up with a lot of you over the course of the next week or two. Thank you.